Hello, everyone, and welcome to Root Tap Radio, the Witch's podcast to all things flora, fauna, and spiritual. I am your host, Bree, and each week we will help cover topics to help feed you in knowledge and in spirit. Merry meet, witches and friends. Welcome back to the Earth Element series. This is number 4 in our series. So today I have John from Big Bear's Forge coming onto the podcast to talk about all things to do with blacksmithing and bladesmithing. Big Bear's Forge, and I know that I say this a few times in the interview, I say Big Bear Forge, it's Big Bear's, like apostrophe S, Forge. Big Bear's Forge is veteran-owned and operated with a focus of helping veterans with their mental health and overcoming the stigma of mental health within our service members. John focuses on a sort of art therapy, if you will, by way of his blacksmithing, bladesmithing, carpentry, and even homesteading. Big Bear's Forge has an Etsy shop that you can go check out their products, and all of the products that they sell on there either benefit the forge directly or benefit the veterans who made them. As we talk about in the interview, John makes quite a few of them now, and he's hoping to use the proceeds to have a brick and mortar place that is specifically for the work that he's doing with veterans and first responders. I wanted to have a blacksmith on for this series because of the correspondence between the element of earth and the metals that are associated with it of iron and lead. I felt like this was a good way to show another outlet of being able to work with the earth element in your own life. John is a very open book, a very wonderful man, and is more than willing to chat with any of you about the services he offers and about getting started with your own bladesmithing or blacksmithing. Feel free to reach out to him if you would like to get involved with any of the services. And even as we talk about in the interview, if you're not in the same area as him, he will be able to help you find a way to either find a guild in your area or some sort of virtual situation. So let's settle in, grab a drink, and have a chat with John about Big Bear's Forge. Hello and welcome everyone to this week's podcast. I have with me John from Big Bear Forge. Thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so there are a ton of things to talk about with Big Bear Forge. Could you tell the listeners who you are and what Big Bear Forge is?
Well, my name is John Hurtman. I am an Eagle Scout Navy veteran. After my time in the service, I faced a lot of the same mental health issues that the majority of service members end up with. The Forge was kind of born out of an art therapy concept that worked so well for me that I decided I wanted to share it with others.
I like that. Thank you so much for your service, by the way.
Thank you.
You also have team members that I saw that are also veterans, so please pass along my thanks to them as well.
We'll do. Yes, a portion of it is actually family. We are a military family, back 4 or 5 generations.
Oh, wow. All Navy?
A good portion of it Navy. I have an uncle who is in the Air Force, but we don't talk about that.
That's my dad was in the Air Force, and everybody else was a Marine, so.
So you understand.
Yes.
but the Air Force is great. We like to make fun of them.
Of course. So you guys work with military members and first responders. So what you talked a little bit about what got you in to smithing as like art therapy, but what did you start smithing beforehand?
Well, being born and raised in the South, I tend to believe that not only can a country boy survive, but it's his duty to understand how and to do so in a symbiotic relationship, in a symbiotic way, so that we're not destroying the earth that we're hoping to live off of. As a part of that, we built a lot. lot of our own stuff. I had a wood shop in my basement growing up, so we did the majority of all of our own furniture. And it was always my dad's dream to have some sort of a steel shop. We were never able to make that work out, but during my time in the Navy, I spent a good deal of time studying the art of blacksmithing and bladesmithing, getting into some of the special techniques and some of the interesting pieces and the challenges and all that kind of stuff. And this is all before Forged in Fire, just so you know, I want to put that.
Yeah.
That always comes up. But when I got out, I figured I had seen all these different designs to make the coal forge out of a grill in your backyard. And I decided, hey, got the stuff. It's a great first step towards a steel shop like my dad wanted. Right? So it would be a cool way to get things rolling there, a little bit of extra income to help supply all the equipment and things like that. But after a few sessions, I realized that there's just something incredibly therapeutic about getting a piece of steel white hot, beating it up with a hammer, and then having something beautiful at the end. I don't know what it is. There's just something about being able to sit there and work through your emotion and sometimes your aggression, sometimes your pain, and put it into this piece and have something beautiful and useful at the end of it. Mm-hmm. And I found that in this process, it was a lot easier for me to think about the things that had happened and to begin to process the things that had happened to me, because I wasn't just keeping all that emotion inside. I was able to put it into the steel and have something amazing come out of it.
Yeah. I love all the different, I see a bunch of metaphors in there that, you know, you have to kind of trial by fire and then being molded and reshaped into something beautiful.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's more than just a hobby. It ends up being a mentality or a view on life.
Mm-hmm. So you kind of covered that where I asked, did it help you through your mental health? Did you have any more to add on that?
Only that I kind of got the idea from, it's sort of an emerging concept over the past 20, 30 years in psychology that is actually just called art therapy. It started out with painting and things like that. In fact, my wife wanted to go to school to get her master's in this particular style of therapy, particularly because, especially when it comes to the colors being used, there's a lot that can be told about the person who's painting and how it's being painted and then so on and so forth. And so I took that idea and I thought, hey, I'm not a big painter, but I do like to get out and work with my hands. And after kind of tying the two together, I realized that there's quite a few people who have come to the same conclusion. And at this point, there's actually quite a community of people who are like me, who are veterans, or are sympathetic to the cause and are running forges and giving out free lessons for veterans and first responders who need this type of thing. Mm-hmm. So this is something really cool that we're doing, but it's really nice to see. It's really cool to see that a lot of people are getting into this mentality of finding a way to help people around you with, I don't know, I kind of lost my train of thought there. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. The fact that we're talking more about mental health these days is such a refreshing thing. And that, like you were saying, you know, not everybody's going to be able to sit down and paint as a way to work through it. I know, like, I've been in therapy for 3 years now. And that was one of the suggestions, was having an art outlet, which I do. But, you know, some people are just more physical and it's easier to work that out muscle wise than it is to sit in your head.
Exactly. There's a lot of very powerful emotions that can come up when you're dealing with mental health issues that paintbrush or a pencil is just too small to get out. The emotions are so large that you just need something bigger, something more physical to get it out.
Yeah. It also makes me think of a rage room. Those are becoming popular too. Have you heard of those?
Yes.
So going back to your business, since we got sort of off track there, a little tangent I didn't expect. But where do you guys get your metal from? Like, I was looking on your Etsy site and I see like railroad spike knives. And how do you choose what metal that you use for a project?
Well, portion of what we're doing is based around upcycling and self-sustainability. The majority of the steel that we use is scrap steel. There's a good portion that is given to us from other people. I've had several people say, hey, I've got a pile of railroad spike knives in my basement. I don't know what to do. Railroad spikes. They're in my basement. I don't know what to do with them. They're just sitting there. If I give you the 50 that I have, can you make a couple knives for me? And so I wound up with a decent stock that way. All this is also, you know, good high carbon steels, good stainless steels is also available online. A couple websites that are specifically designed for knife making actually also sell the railroad spikes. Another big material that I use is 30 penny nails, or some people know them as barn spikes. You can buy them at Home Depot for 35 cents a piece, and it's just a 6-inch, 7-inch nail, and I put that in the forge and I get letter openers out of it. So a lot of what we're doing is intentionally using what we have to make what we can out of it, and then using that to step up into better products and better materials. But a good rule of thumb, though, is if you are trying to look through steel and figure out how good the steel is, if you take it to a grinder, like a belt, or not a belt grinder, it could be a belt grinder or one of the bench grinders with the stone disc, and if you take the steel to it, if it has a lot of sparks, then it's high carbon. If there's not a lot of sparks, then it's low carbon. It usually, if it lights up like a Christmas tree, then you know you have good steel.
Okay.
So we go through and we look at what we have. Some stuff is just too rusty. So we try and use it around the forge to patch vents or whatever. Some stuff is perfect for, you know, whatever we're doing, and so we make what we can out of it. And the other stuff, we sell it off to help with the forge, or we take aluminum cans. We just ran a crucible out today of probably 200 aluminum cans. We melt them down and we pour them into ingots, and we are going to sand cast different things out of that, and we can also just take it to the junkyard and sell it for pure aluminum price, and the profits of all that goes back to the forge and helps us get more tools and more anvils and, you know, all the stuff we need to keep this thing going and hopefully eventually work towards an actual location.
Yeah. That's a really cool way to use the aluminum cans as, you know, a sustainable option.
Well, an unpopular statistic is that about 70% of products that are being recycled don't actually make it through a recycling facility. It's just too expensive to transport it separately, to have a completely separate facility and everything for processing garbage. So a good portion of it just ends up back in the landfill anyway. And so if we have it, might as well use it to our benefit, especially if it's going to be helping the environment more than just simply throwing it in a recycling bin.
Yeah. It makes me think that there needs to be more of a community thing to, instead of collecting it to sell it for price, that you just give it to your local smith to use again if you're not going to use it.
Oh, yeah. There's I wish I knew his name, but there's a guy out in Alabama, and he runs a junkyard, and people bring all of their aluminum cans and drop them off to him, and he melts them down and sells it, and then takes the money to, like, the local soup kitchen.
Oh, nice.
And so it's a community charity, basically, that everybody saves their aluminum cans, and instead of taking them recycling, they take them to him, and it helps out the local soup kitchens.
Oh, nice. That's a really good idea. So how do you set up an art therapy class? Like, do you teach it, or you just provide the space and the members just create as they feel? Like, can you walk us through what a process looks like there?
Well, the philosophy behind it is sort of a blend of interpersonal and humanistic psychology. Basically, I'm a spiritual person, so I believe that being spiritual, everybody believes in something. And I believe that's a major part of our psychology, our mental health, what we believe in and how that's holding up for us. You know, if we believe in something that's failing, then it's going to be hard to carry on with things if what you know, what you're putting all your hope in, isn't making it.
Right.
So I believe that what you believe in, what your faith is incredibly important on your road to mental health. Mm-hmm. And the humanistic side of it is that I believe that through life you're going to have ups and downs. It doesn't mean that just because you're down for a period of time that you need to be defined by that. So I'm not a doctor, so I can't diagnose. But to that point, I think oftentimes we we should refrain from diagnosing simply because giving it a name gives it a power and could cause more issues because this person now thinks, oh, well, I have clinical, yada, 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 when it could have just been a really rough patch and needs somebody to help him get through. So that's the philosophy. Unfortunately, because we're working in the backyard, I haven't been in my backyard. I haven't got enough room to do anything large or a lot of the quote-unquote official therapy sessions. But it's really, aside from that mentality, it's based off of what the person needs. Some people really need to talk to someone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a lot, and they have to find somebody who understands, and you could talk to any veteran, but veterans can talk to veterans in a way that other people can't because there's so many acronyms, you know,
yeah,
that get thrown around in the military, but everybody knows it. It's universal. It might as well be its own language that we can't talk with other people about because nobody else understands it.
Mm.
So sometimes you really just need somebody else who understands to talk to and to work through this stuff. Sometimes the last thing you want to do is talk about it.
Yeah.
Sometimes all you want to do is get out there and hit something with a hammer, you know? So we also are going to, when we finally do have our brick and mortar location, we're going to offer some group sessions and some individual sessions and try and allow people to find what's going to work best for them. The whole idea with what we're doing is to harbor a wholesome and safe environment where people can get the help they need, because the help they need doesn't always line up with the help that's being prescribed to them.
Yeah, for sure. It's rough getting the help that you need. And I know, you know, I have several friends with PTSD from, you know, a couple tours in Iraq, and what they're prescribed to do is not necessarily what they need. You know, it's,
okay,
you can't just go sit in an office sometimes for an hour and feel better.
It's
an ongoing process. And
yeah, there's a lot of, I call them band-aids that are taught to kind of help calm yourself down, get yourself out of that mindset, and then just keep moving. But the problem is, if you just keep pushing it back, if you just keep taking the issue and pushing it to the side so you can move further, it's still going to be right there. So eventually, you have to find a situation, an environment where you're comfortable in turning around and facing the problem. And you might not win that battle the first few times, but it's getting back up and trying again. That really is where all the help comes from. And so there are, and I mean, I'm not trying to spread any ill feelings towards psychiatrists and psychologists, but it's impossible to know what's going on in somebody's head. It's just not something we can do. We're confined to our own. And so it does make it very difficult to get to the heart of mental issues.
Agreed. So you guys have an Etsy shop where you can purchase creations to support veterans. Are you guys making these, or are the people who are coming in, like first responders and veterans, are making these?
It's a little bit of everything. There are some of my own pieces because I'm on site more often, so I'm turning stuff out, trying to get, you know, a shop built and a catalog built and get that going so we can have some income to help get everything going.
Right.
So a good portion right now are mine, but I'm in the process of coordinating with a couple other like-minded people to expand our collection to more than just metalworking stuff. I have some carpentry stuff on there now. But I want this to be less of an outlet for me to sell my work and more of an outlet for the people who are coming to put their work out and have that sold to benefit them or to benefit the forge, however they want to do it. But I can't tell you how fulfilling it is to pour your soul into something and put it online, and not only does somebody like it, but they want six more.
Yeah.
It's just to I mean, really just take a piece of your heart and bear it out like that, and then have people wanting you to continue and continue with your therapy, really. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And I would like to be able to share that with as many people as possible.
Yeah, the community support.
Absolutely.
All right, so I have to chat about your homestead and your goats.
Yes.
So what led to the goats? You have quite a few of them.
Yes, I'm sitting at 9 goats, 2 ducks, personally 2 dogs, and 4 cats at this point. So we have a little bit of a homestead going, yes. And the idea with the homestead was, obviously this all started out as the forge. I mean, that was the heart of it to begin with. And then to branch off of that, I wanted to look at maybe, you know, that's not exactly what everybody needs. Mm-hmm. Right? Some people just don't want to be near a 5,000 degree forge for hours on end. And I guess I can understand that viewpoint. You know? So we wanted to have other options for them. We wanted to have, obviously there's a wood shop available so they can do carpentry stuff. But we wanted to have an environment, and in that, especially with things that have been going on lately, I saw that having a homestead where I can do everything to survive I need in my front yard, backyard, you know, I can grow all the food that I need and just be set, right? I can be self-sufficient, self-sustaining. I decided to take that and then make that the host for the forge, for the wood shop, for any other therapeutic options that I can pack in there with that. I want to just make it a whole community garden style homestead for people to come in, and they can help with they can work with the goats, you know, if they want to clip the hooves or help vaccinate them, or if they want to milk them and help make cheese, you know, or they could go work in the garden, because I know a lot of people love gardening.
Yeah.
They could go work on that. They could go help with the ducks, or when we get the chicken coop up, they can go help with the chickens. So there's that whole side of it, as well as the making, the making knives and the making desks and stuff in the wood shop. There's, along with making something out of your emotion, there's also something very therapeutic about just simply caring for something that they can't ever really care back for you, but just giving it your heart and in the same way, pouring your emotion into something that you get to see, you know, make a gallon of milk, and you get the cheese and butter from it, and you're healthier for it, and the goat loves you because you're taking care of it, and everybody's happy, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the whole homestead idea is just to help nurture that environment, just an all-around wholesome and fulfilling experience.
Yeah. And that's a good way to start people into that. You know, with last year's pandemic, a lot of people got into gardening or into making their own things. And I don't know about you, if you save all your seeds from the harvest before, but myself, I had to buy seeds this year because I didn't have everything I wanted. And it was hard to come by those. So I was just amazed at how many people are out gardening now and trying to grow their own food. And that's a good way for somebody to get an introduction or have somebody to be able to walk them through a process. Because, you know, making cheese, I don't know how to make cheese. So it'd be nice to have somebody, you know, helping.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, so I saw on your website that you guys offer services with the goats. Besides just therapy and taking care of them, is there any other services that you offer with them?
Yes, they are up for rent, basically. We rent them out to do petting zoos and parties, that kind of thing. But also, one wonderful thing about goats is they absolutely love to eat poison ivy and kudzu, which just plagues Georgia. I don't know about everywhere in the South, but I know we've got a lot of it out here. And kudzu can grow up to a foot a day, and it just creeps in and takes over the yard. And so I have people who... They can't get to where the kudzu is to cut it back, but they don't want to wade into, you know, waist-deep kudzu and risk the bugs and stuff. So mm-hmm. they rent the goats, and we put the goats on site for about a week if it's heavy, you know, put 5 or 6 goats on for about a week, and they eat it back and do it again next year, you know. They do a really good job with it. In fact, we've been maintaining my grandparents' property for a while now, and they've killed all of the vines off of all the trees in their backyard, and they've done a good job of reclaiming the border to the property, if you will. They absolutely love it, and that's great, especially with poison ivy, because nobody wants to get in there and deal with poison ivy, and I don't like putting chemicals in the ground if I don't have to, so I don't want to go buy all the, you know, the poison ivy killer.
Right.
I just have somebody pay me to feed my goats.
Works out. What is kudzu? I don't think I've ever heard of that before.
Kudzu?
Yeah. I don't think I've heard of it.
I'm not sure. I've heard of two, I guess, old wives' tales about how kudzu, it was introduced from China, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it was either made to be an inexpensive and efficient means of feeding the cows, or it was supposed to be a means of putting a restricting perimeter around prisons to keep prisoners from being able to get out as easy. Either way, it turns out cows don't eat it, and it overgrew, and yeah, so their little control idea was to, you know, let the livestock eat it, whether it was for that purpose or for protection, but now apparently goats are the only ones that like it, because nobody else goes anywhere near it.
Oh, hey, it works out for them, I guess. So what is next for Big Bear Forage?
5 acres and a mule. hoping to get enough land to have a decent-sized off-grid, like I said, community garden model homestead. Want to be able to have just a small building and put a windmill and some solar panels up for power and put a water retention system in for water. And I've got this really cool book, and this kind of sounds a little nasty, but I'm a little psyched by the idea, but you can put in a dry waste outhouse and make your own diesel.
Oh, wow. And,
yeah, and I'm not sure you can put it in vehicles, but or in you know, like your car, but I know you can run it in tractors and things like that, and so I might do that just to be able to make my own gas. I feel like that'd be a pretty cool idea. But just to be able to have the land to put a couple donkeys on, because they are great guard dogs. Put goats on, put a cow on, have some chickens, you know, have the land to do what we want to do with it. But have it somewhere where the legal issues aren't so bad if somebody gets hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair. I love the idea of the fuel. I thought you were going to say something about people are starting to use it as almost a compost thing. So running a compost toilet instead. So I thought that's what you were going to say, but you just went left field. And now I'm like, when can we get that in a car?
I know, right? I mean, if it's in a bucket and all I got to do is dump it into a tank or something and let it do its thing, that works for me.
Yeah. So do you have any advice for someone who wants to get into smithing themselves, or for veterans that want to find a place like yours, if they can't get to you?
Well, it's a lot of fun. Anybody who's interested, just remember that it's always hot. Everything is always hot. Even if it's black, don't touch it without a glove on. It's hot. Trust me. I've learned. If you want to get into smithing just for the heck of it, there's local smithing guilds everywhere. When I first really started looking into it, I was in Norfolk, Virginia, and I unfortunately, about a week, missed the last days of the local Virginia Beach smithing guild. But there's generally one or two in each state. They're always absolutely excited to see somebody else interested, and they will give you all the extra tools and hammers and advice that you could ever want, because, I mean, it's a community that we're really trying to get moving again. It not only helps people with the mental health side of it, but it's a good trade to learn.
Yeah.
So there's always smiths who are excited to get somebody else started. If you're looking to do it as a therapy option, there are several places online that you can go. There is a place called reforge.org that does free smith lessons for veterans and first responders like I do.
Mm-hmm.
But you are always, anybody who's listening is always welcome to contact me via social media or my website and message me, and we can work up a virtual demo if you want. I'll send you all the plans to set up your forge. We can do something online. I'm happy to help anybody any way that I can.
Okay. We'll definitely have all those links down in the show notes, so that way people can get a hold of you any way that you're wanting them to.
Perfect.
So is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to mention? Any projects or events happening soon?
Yes, actually, on August 14th at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I'm doing a Facebook virtual demo. It's going to be hour, hour and a half of all the Q&A you want. We're going to have the forge fired up. We're going to be making stuff. We're going to be giving away stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. And please drop in, ask questions. It can be about the forge. It can be about the goats. It can be about mental health issues. You know, that's what we're here for. And just would love to see as many people as we can.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. So where can people find you on social media, or where can they support Big Bear Forge?
Well, I am on Instagram and Facebook at Big Bears Forge. My website is bigbearsforge.com. You can contact me through any of those. The website has a link to the Etsy shop, and I believe the Etsy shop is Big Bears Forge shop. Interestingly enough, there's another Big Bears Forge on Etsy.
Oh.
you can find me through any of those.
So every guest is getting asked a parting question to leave the listeners with some advice. And because you're a guest on the Earth series, I have to ask you, what's one tip that you have for helping to keep yourself grounded and living in the now?
I heard a story a while ago about a young man in military training who was having a hard time. I couldn't tell you why. But he ended up going to the chapel to try and seek some help. When he walked in, there was one of the instructors in the chapel. And when this young man walked in, he didn't do any of the appropriate facing movements or saluting or addressing how they're supposed to, the whole, the training thing.
Yeah.
And so the instructor just lit him up and chewed him out and sent him out the door and said, "Now you come back in right now, or you come back in and you do it the right way." Well, the young man walked out of the door and went to his barracks room and hung himself in the closet. And white metal being drawn into a beautiful knife. Too much heat, as well as not enough heat, can cause crucial failures. And it's not until you take it down and you give it a little TLC and attention that you can even find the issues. But a good smith can recover any piece of steel and make something beautiful and useful out of it. So remember that you can never really know what's going on in somebody's head. You can never really truly understand what's going on beneath the surface. If they look fine, that doesn't mean they are. Just remember to try and know, or remember that you don't know who's truly okay. And when you're interacting with people, you should do your best to be kind to them and to help them, whether or not they seem like they deserve it or need it. Because if you can be anything in this world, be kind. And if you can be kind to everybody around you, or just make that your goal, you'll find that you have plenty that will keep you grounded.
I love that. That's awesome advice.
Thank you.
Well, those are all the questions that I have for you, and I don't want to take up too much of your time this evening. So we will go ahead and end there. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on and to chat with me.
Well, thank you for having me. This has been a lot of fun.
This interview with John was so great, and I love the mission behind Big Bears Forge. There are so many people, so many service members out there who just get left behind and don't get the care, especially the mental care that they need. And I love that there is somebody out there who understands them, who is fighting to do something about it. As I said earlier, and we talked about in the interview, Big Bears Forge has an Etsy shop where you can purchase from John or the veterans that create these pieces, and it will benefit the veterans directly, or it will go to Big Bears Forge to help support them in their goals to make a bigger operation. I will leave all of John's info in the show notes, so that way you can find him on all the places that he's available. And like he said, feel free to reach out. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I hope that you have taken away something from this episode. And if not for you, maybe for somebody that you know. Maybe one of your friends that is a service member, is a first responder, that you can share this episode with them, that they might be able to find some support from Big Bear's Forge. As for me, you guys can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @root_tap_radio. You can also find me on TikTok under the same name at www.roottapradio.com or at my email roottap_radio@yahoo.com. Feel free to reach out to me on any of those platforms. I would love to hear from you guys. I hope that you all have a beautiful week ahead, and until next time, Merry Part, my friends.